So this week's Parsha is Tazria. Often Tazria and Mitzora go together, but this year was a leap year. So it's only a Parsha's Tazria. And there's three major topics in Parsha's Tazria. The first is the Yoledes, a woman who gave birth, and her process of going from Tumah to Tara, from ritual impurity to the process of purity, and the various the amount of time she waits, and then the sacrifices that she brings. The second topic is Tzaras of the Guf, leprosy, Tzaras of the body. And then the last topic is Tzaras of Begadim, leprosy of clothing. And the next week's Parsha, the Mitzora, Parsha Mitzora talks about Tzaras on a house. So I want to do today is to discuss the middle topic, the topic of Tzaras on the body. And specifically the last pasuk, in that section. Up until that point, the Torah describes various types of afflictions that can appear on a body, different shades and shapes and positions and skin and hair and colors and all these different things. And the Kohen has to examine it, and if you're not sure, there's like a quarantine period, and you look at it again, and a whole process of how you determine whether or not it's a typical tzaraas. And then at the very end of the whole discussion, this is in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Vav. Actually, let me go back one pasuk. Pasuk first, Memhei. Vatzarua shir bohanega begadav yu prumim rosho yefarua val safam yatev tamei tamei yikra. And the person who, in fact, we have confirmed this person as tzaras. We get rid of his clothing. He has to shave his head, and he's called tamei tamei. He's called impure, impure. There's a whole discussion why that double expression of a tamei tamei. And then the pasuk mem vav says, "Kol yimei asher nega bo yitma tameihu." That the entire time that this person is has this affliction upon him or herself, they will be considered tamei, impure. Adad ye shave, they shall dwell in isolation. Michutz l'machaneh moshavo, outside the camp shall be where they should position themselves. So a couple things we learned from this pasuk. Number one, it says kol yimei. How long does a person have tzaras on their body? Who knows? It could be quite a long time, right? It's in fact, beginning of Parshas Mitzora, where it describes the purification process, it says, the Kohen has to see if it went away. If it hasn't gone away, the person stole tame. Now, why would it last for so long, the tzaras? So we're going to get more into this in a moment. But we know, right, our rabbis tell us in Maseches Erechin and the Midrashim that this tzaras was not a physical ailment, wasn't some disease, but it was a punishment, or it was a reminder or a warning from Hashem that the person had done something wrong. And the Gemara in Erechin actually tells us that there's about seven different things that a person could do to be deserving of tzaras, and of course the most famous is Lashon Hara. I believe we've talked in the past about also the idea of the of gava, of arrogance is also a reason why a person would get tzaras. In fact, that's what we spoke about in the past, is the stories in Tanakh of people who actually received tzaras all seem to, the common denominator seems to always be arrogance. Sometimes there's Lashon Hara, which is a part of it, but at its core, it always boils down to arrogance. And sorry for the pun. And any event, the person did something not good to in order to that they received this tzaraas. And as a result, again, they have to go b'chutz l'machana. And again, it sounds like it could potentially last for a long period of time. So the I saw the Netziv says, how long would it really last for? He says, it's not like you declare him to be or her to be Tomei, and they have it, and the Taras is confirmed, and now people can once again be with this person. We don't assume that the person automatically or immediately repaired the mistake that they made. Rather, Alkain Pirosh Hakosov de Meze Eno Tochacha. That the point of the person being sent out of the camp is that the person should do teshuva, right? The person should reflect upon their activities, their actions of what brought them to this point, and some people may right away, they may engage in that process and they may quickly do teshuva and they may commit themselves to changing themselves. And it sounds like if that's the case, then the tzaras would go away pretty quickly. And there may be other people who take a lot longer, who aren't so quick to recognize what's happening, who are very stubborn or unwilling to make the necessary changes. And for them, the tzaras can linger for quite a period of time. And as long as it lingers, they're still tamei. They're still impure, and therefore they have to remain outside the camp, and they have to, people can't be in contact with them. So again, it doesn't seem to be like there's a specific period of time. Like you have with certain things, there's other tumma where it's very specific. It's like, 7 days is the tumma, when a person becomes a nazir, if they don't say how long the nazirus is, the Gemara assumes it's tam nazirus shloshim yom, it's 30 days. But that's it, unless they specify longer. Here it seems to be open-ended. Here it seems to be totally dependent upon the person, whether or not they're going to get the message and they're going to engage in the process of teshuva. So that's why, again, the pasuk says, this concluding pasuk in this discussion of tzaras on the body, it says, kol yimei asher hanegabo, all the days that the affliction is on the body. All the days, how many days? It really depends. Depends upon the person. Now, where does the person go? What happens to this person who's confirmed to being a Betzora? So it says, Batad Yeshev, that the person needs to dwell alone, Yichutz L'machaneh Moshavo, outside of the camp will be his dwelling. So Chazal pick up on these expressions on outside the camp and dwelling alone. It's interesting, before I get to the Gemaras, There is a debate, and I said before that we assume this is not a disease, a physical disease, but rather it's a it's clearly it's something which is some spiritual ailment, and it's a warning that God is giving to the person. Now, there's a lot of reasons why that's probably the case. Again, you don't go to a doctor when you have this; you go to the kohen. The kohen is not a doctor. So it's more, again, it's a spiritual evaluation. Also, there's sometimes that they would delay for the Kohen to take a look at what was happening because they didn't want to destroy the person's current predicament. What if the person just got married? If you declare them Tameh, they'd have to leave. They couldn't have Shavar Brachos and all that. So it sounds like if it's a physical ailment, you take care of it right away. You don't delay. Say, oh, I got Shavar Brachos, I'm not going to go to the doctor for a week. That's absurd. It's interesting though. There are some aforshim who seem to suggest that it is a physical affliction that may be contagious, and there's some who even or at the very least, at least initially, we're not sure. But initially, it could be a some sort of physical ailment. And not some spiritual plague that God's putting upon the person. I just thought the Ramban seems to suggest that. Because the Ramban picks up on earlier, the Torah says that the Kohen takes a look, and if he's not sure or doesn't have the complete sign, so sometimes there's like a 7 day waiting process. And during that 7 day waiting process, so the Torah says the skir hakohen shivas yamim, that the kohen will separate the person. And so it sounds like we put the person into some, you know, sort of like, you know, with COVID now, you know, with you put the person into some sort of, you know, you confine them to their homes. You you know, you basically you quarantine them, but, you know, you're quarantining them for a certain period of time. And so the Ramban says that the following says that the Torah desires the purity of the Jewish people and the hygiene of their bodies. Therefore, initially, you quarantine this person, right? You keep this person at a distance. Keep them far away from other people. Right? Initially, when you first see it, begin to see the change in the skin color, when it's not yet 100% the tsaras, it could be leading to the tsaras. Tavona lidekach. Yomar Rovim, and the doctors say, says the Ramban, the Sifreim in their books, Habahoros Nira Meham Raos, that when we see light colored spots, we should be concerned about the possibility of leprosy because of them. Lakach Yomar Kosel B'Tchilasa, and therefore the Torah says, Neged Tsaras. There's a good chance that this is some sort of a Tsaras, Chloramaka Shel Tsaras, some sort of affliction, but it's not yet completely confirmed that it is, right? You took a rapid test, but you don't know if the results are correct or not, but you don't want to play games if it came back positive. So it sounds like for the Ramban, you know, either he's saying that it completely is contagious, or it's or at least initially you don't know if it's a physical ailment or it's a spiritual ailment, and therefore there's this initial quarantine when you're in this period of uncertainty. But once it's confirmed, right, once it's confirmed, so again the question is it contagious? Can other people get it, or it's not contagious at all? So, if it's not contagious, so then again, why are you quarantining the person? Right? Why does a person have to be badad? Why does a person have to be all alone? That's now I'm going to show you the Gemaras. The Gemaras say the following. First, it's a Gemara Maseches Psachim. This is on the Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Badad yeshev, right? The person shall dwell alone in isolation. Levado, the person must be completely alone by himself. Shlo yitneim achim yoshim imo. So this is very interesting. The mitzora on a certain level is more stringent than other people who are also declared tamei and who also have to be in some state of quarantine. For example, the tamei meis, that a person comes in contact with the dead body is tamei, and the person is unable to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Right? That's why before Pesach, for example, right, last Shabbos, we read Parshas Paro. We read about the red heifer and the ashes that were used in the purification of someone who was tamei meis. Right? Anyone who had gone to a cemetery, anyone who had gone to a funeral was tamei meis, so they wanted to bring Korban Pesach, they had to become tor. They couldn't enter into the Beis HaMikdash, so they had to go through this purification process. So again, a person who was in contact with the dead body could not enter the Beis HaMikdash. Then there was another level of impurity, a zav or a zava, a person who saw some sort of abnormal type of emission from their private areas. So that person, not only could they not enter into the Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't also enter what we call the Machne Levia. Right, there was in the desert, there were three camps. There was the Mishkan, the camp of the Levium, and then finally the Machane Yisrael, where the rest of the Jewish people were in camp. So the person who was a Zav or Zava, they couldn't enter the Mishkan, nor could they enter into the Machane Levia. But then, what was most extreme, as the Gemara is saying, is the one with Tzaras, the person with leprosy. That person had to exit all three camps. And that's what the Gemara says. Like, it says, but When it says in this pasuk that that the person should dwell alone, so you might think, well, okay, the person has has taras. So, but the person can maybe be in an area where other people who are tamei are, right? He can be in an area with people who are tamei meis, people who are tamei zava. But no, but Dad Yashim, he cannot be with any of them. He's going to be totally separated. It's like, I'll never forget. I never, weddings, when you go to a wedding, so sometimes at a wedding, you'll see like outside the dance hall, there'll be like a couple, like a chair is set up. With like a small little table, like one or two chairs. Because there's like an uncle, an aunt to a Nebuch is in the year of a Velus for parents. So you're not supposed to be in an area of a celebration. Not supposed to be in a get together where there's music and where there's many people there in celebration. But whatever, it's the chassan's favorite uncle, favorite aunt. So they want them to be there. So maybe they'll have them show up and they'll help out a little bit. But they won't sit inside with there's music. They'll sit outside. I always think the whole thing is a shtus. The whole thing is inappropriate. Uncle and aunt, they shouldn't be there. Okay, maybe for the chuppah to go, but once the party's there, that's part of the avelus. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that part of this is that you're not, when you're sitting outside the wedding hall, everyone's passing by you, everyone's talking, you hear the music, you see the dancing. I'm not a big fan of it. Usually they don't ask the rabbi what they think, but if they would ask me, I would tell. But I'll never forget this. I once went to a wedding, and outside, the main in the hall, there's two tables with like 10 chairs around each table. So this was like a wedding of like 700 people, a very fancy wedding. So between, both sides, unfortunately, listen, there are always people in Avelis. So they invited like 20 people showed up who are Avelim, right? There's 10 people at one table, 10 at the other. They're having a party. They're all enjoying themselves, having a great time. And I'm thinking to myself, and they're 2 feet outside of the room where the music blasting and people are walking by and talking to them. It was such a late Sunday. It was such a good joke. That was not appropriate. So the reason why I'm sharing this is because that's the point here. The point here is that you would think, what the Gemara is telling us is that the Mitzora, so you might think, oh, okay, he's Tomei, but he can hang out with a Tomei Mace. He can hang out with people who are tamei with zav and zava. Says the Torah, badad yishev. No, he dwells alone. He's completely removed from the entire city, right? From the outer limits of the city, from the three camps in the desert, totally left alone. Okay, so that's pretty extreme. So the question is, why is that? So why is that, number one? And now question number two, okay, so he's outside the camp, but now let's go back to my wedding analogy. What happens if there's more than one person in the city that has saras? Can they at least be together? Right, let's say there's three people in the city that have saras. So they can't be with the rest of us. They can't be with the tummy mace. They can't be with the zav zav. Can they at least be together? So there's a Gemara in Meseches Erechin that says the following. Meseches Erechin is where it talks, in the middle of Erechin is where it talks all about these laws of Taras and the reasons for Taras. So here the Gemara says, before I get to that Gemara, I'm sorry, let me tell you what the, so the, there's a Medrash, and then Rashi, and then the Malbim make the following points. So Rashi in this pasuk says, "Badad yeshev, shelo yushar tameim yoshimimo." Other people who are tamei should not be with them. And then he quotes the Gemara. Okay, then he'll quote this Gemara in Erech and why that is. So the question is, when Rashi says that other people who are tamei should not be with them, is he saying anyone, even a fellow mitzora, or can someone who is a mitzora, can two or three mitzoras at least be together? So the Malbim makes this point, and I saw that the Torah Tamima says this as well. I'll just read it from the Torah Tamima. again, the word is badad, right? Badad, they should sit, they should dwell alone, and they should be mechutz l'machana, outside the camp. So says the Malbim, V'nira, the actual farish badad yeshiv shiamuvdo gam yishar mitzorim, v'yoshav yechidi. Says the Torah Tanima, say the Malbim, they don't think that he has to literally be alone. And if there are other Mitzorim out there, that he can't interact with them. Rather, he can interact with the other Mitzorim. Why do they think that's correct? Why do they think that he can interact with other Mitzorim? It shouldn't say Badad, alone he should dwell, but rather another word called Galmud. Gimel Lamed Mem Vav Dalet. Dirak Loshon Ze Mora Shal Yechidi, Kamashikas Rosh Hashanah Chavav Amid Aleph, Shekein Lenita Koren Galmuda. This is just fascinating in terms of like knowing Shas. So he's quoting here a Gemara in Mesachas Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara cites this strange expression, this word called Galmuda. Upper Rabbi Kiva, Kishalachti Lagalia, when I traveled to Gaul, G-A-U-L, which some say is actually France. Well, from travel to France? Interesting question. So he says, how you call a nida galmuda? They would call a woman who's a nida a galmuda. My galmuda, what's galmuda? It's short for gimula da mibala. That it's a contraction of the phrase that this one is separated from her husband. Gamula da mibala. In other words, the nida, right? She and her husband are alone. The two of them cannot be together, right? Each one is separate. So says the Torah Tumimah, because the album says the same thing, that if it wanted to say that he has to be totally alone and by himself, it should have said Galmuda Yeshev. The fact it says Badad Yeshev, it means he can't be with the Tamei Meis and he can't be with the Zav and the Zava. But if there's like five mitzvahs outside, you know, those can be together. Now, why am I spending so much time on this? Why am I emphasizing this? I want to give you two more sources. So that Gemara in Erechin says the following. The Gemara wants to know, why are we being so strict on this person? Right? It's so lonely. It's this person literally is kicked out of the community. Has to leave town, has to go out into the farms, into the wilderness, has to be all by himself. Okay, there's two or three other mitzvahs, they can be together, but they're totally removed from the rest of the community. So this is the Gemara in Erech and asks the question, Manishtana. We don't only ask Manishtana Seder night, the Gemara says Manishtana regarding this mitzvah. Why is this mitzvah different? Right, the pasuk says outside the camp, totally outside the city. So answers the Gemara, who hivdil ben ish lishto, ben ish l'reyo. Because you know what this person did? This person caused other people to separate from one another. Right, and the Gemara is now going on the Lashon Hara. Right, because when you speak Lashon Hara, what are you doing? You're telling one person, you know, something bad about someone else. Right, you're sharing gossip, bad news. And what happens? People think poorly about someone else. They don't want anything to do with them. They think the person is mean, nasty, the person is not nice, the person is strange, whatever. And it causes separation. It causes people to distance themselves from one another. Your Lashon Hara perhaps caused friction within a marriage. Right? You told a wife something bad about the husband, told the husband something bad about the wife. Or between friends, people originally were friends, acquaintances, and all of a sudden you cause them to distance one another, to back away from each other. Therefore, the Torah says, you cause people to be alone, people to be separate, people to be distant. Your punishment is you now are distant. You now are outside. You now have to experience what you cause others now to engage in. So it's a very strong and harsh punishment to the mitzora. But once he's out and all alone, or she's out there all alone. What's the goal? The goal is them ultimately to come back. It's ultimately to return and to make amends. Right? And that's what we started with. That's the Kol Yemei. Right? They can be there for a long time, but it's all dependent upon when they do teshuva, when they repent. So I wanted to end off by saying it could be that that's why we're okay with the mitzora being with other mitzorim. That if there's two or three people who are out there that have tsaras, it's okay for them to be together. Why? Because by being outside, so now they're hopefully recognizing what they did, which was wrong, right? They're totally separated from their own families. They're totally outside the city limits. They hopefully are realizing that they cause other people to separate one from another. But hopefully, when they're outside together, maybe it's a little bit like, I've never been to any of these, but I've read about that, like an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous, then maybe they can talk to one another and they can share, you know, their failures and their mistakes. And they can, you know, talk about, hey, you know, we need to correct this. We need to fix this. We need to repair our actions. Maybe they can be mechazek, can be strengthen one another. And to just to support this theory, so there's a story in Tanakh that actually suggests this. In fact, I don't know about the Torah Tamim and the mom. I don't see that they quoted the story in Tanakh. But again, they were trying to prove that the mitzora does not have to be all alone, but it can be with other mitzoras. We have a perfect story in the Tanakh that already tells us that. Are there any stories in Tanakh where you have mitzoras spending time together? The answer is yes. There's one story. Like both stories in Tanakh of people of mitzora or that are mitzora that had saras are one person. Like Moshe put his hand in his pocket, he had leprosy. Miriam was one person had leprosy. Gehazi, right? Elisha's a servant, right? One person who had leprosy. And then there was the general of the Aramean army, right? What was his name? His name was Naaman. One person had tzaras. And there was this king Uzziah. One person had tzaras. But there is a story, and it's actually the Haftarah of Parshas Mitzora, which we won't read next week because of the special. My mother knows how many there were. Next week is Shabbos Hagadol, so it's the Shabbos Hagadol Haftarah. But you don't have a special Shabbos, you read the Haftarah of Mitzora. It begins, Va'arba'a anashim hayu mitzorim petach hashar. There were four people who had saras, and they were outside the gate. They were michutz l'machaneh. They were outside the gate of the city. This is the time period of Elisha. Vayomru ishoeu. And one person said to the other, you know, what are we doing here? It was a famine at the time. There was this terrible famine, and there was a famine inside the city, outside the city. I'm not going to tell the whole story now, but long story short, there was an Aramean camp that had been besieging the city. That's why there was a terrible famine, starvation, and they went. They decided to give themselves up because hopefully, either they figure they're going to die one way or the other. So either they'll die of starvation, or maybe they give themselves up. Maybe they'll be killed by the Arameans. But the one option may be taken prisoner, at least be fed food. So they went to the camp. And again, it was a miracle took place. Elisha had predicted this, that the entire camp of Aram would run away. And there was all this, then all the food was there, the Arameans, and then they did this thing. They went back and told the gatekeeper of the city, hey, the Arameans are gone, and there's food here, and there's been a great salvation for the Jewish people. Okay, there's lots of lessons for that story. But for my purpose right now, you see that they interacted with one another because it's like Yomru Ish El Rieo. They were talking with one another. Right, these four mitzoras. So you see, it's like a perfect proof that mitzoras can be with one another. They can communicate with. They don't have to each be in their own separate location. But coming back now to where I started, why that is again is because I believe that it was important for them to converse with each other. It was, you know, the people can, everyone could tell their story. Hopefully, they wouldn't tell lashon hara, but they would say it in an appropriate way, and they would explain, hey, yeah, I messed up. I did something wrong. And hopefully, you know, misery has company, whatever the expression is. So together they can strengthen one another. They could figure out, you know, what the types of changes that they could make in their lives. But what's remarkable about this entire tzaras that the Torah describes is that the Gemara actually says at the end of the day, it was really a chesed that Hashem gave the person. The point is that this person was doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and Hashem, you know, gave a physical sign to tell the person, hey, you know, you got to rectify, you got to make changes in your life. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And the person was sent all the way out, right, all alone, a Dad Yeshev, not with anyone else, because he wanted the person to really think and reflect and consider their actions and behavior. If there's other mitzvahs here, they can talk with one another. But as long as it would take, kol yimei, right, as many days and maybe longer that it would take until the person would figure things out, they would, whatever it would be, it would be. But hopefully they would make the necessary corrections and changes, and they would commit themselves to doing better on moving forward. And at that point, if they were confident then the taras was going away, that they were given a good sign, then they could call the coin to come take a look. Hopefully things would be good. Then the coin would bring them back in. They'd go through this purification process, and they could then once again re-engage with their fellow people, their fellow community, and hopefully to make amends and to be a better moving forward. So we don't have tzaras nowadays, right? The Gemara gives reasons why we're not deserving of that warning, but nonetheless, it's our responsibility, although we're not sent outside the camp, but nonetheless for us to, the Bali Musar say that a person every day, at the end of the day, before they go to sleep, should think about their day and the actions that they did during the course of the day and to give yourself a pat on the back for all the good things you did, but also to recognize the mistakes that we may have made. And, unfortunately, were mistakes to do teshuvah and to realize where we went wrong, and to then make amends and to make the commitment to do better the next day. Okay, I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos.